Night. You know, I have always wanted to be perfect. Is there anybody else here like that? You just wish you could be perfect. There are a few people. The problem is that we define perfect differently than God does. And it has been said concerning, and there have been a lot of jokes about perfection, and it has been said that the only perfect people in the world are bachelor's wives and old maids' children. Those are the only perfect people in the world. And yet God says in His Word that He wants us to have a perfect heart. And it's important how you define that word, because it doesn't mean, even though it means to us, flawless. Perfect means flawless, without any flaws, without any errors, without any mistakes, without anything wrong, without a blemish. That's not really what the word means historically. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54 says, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heavens." And this was the dedication of the temple. And it was Solomon who's praying this. Verse 61 says, "Let your heart therefore be perfect with the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." A perfect heart is what I'd like for us to consider tonight. Actually, the Bible word, whether you're talking about the Old Testament word or the New Testament word, they mean the same thing. The Old Testament word, and I'm not a Hebrew scholar or even a Hebrew student, but it's the word shalem, and it means to be complete, to be outfitted, to be total, to be accurate. And that's the same word, the same meaning as the Greek word teleos, which means to be complete, at its terminal point, to be accurate, to be total. And it means the same thing. Many times in God's Word, the Bible refers to perfection, being perfect. But this is what it means. It means to be outfitted. It means to be furnished, to be complete, to be full, to be enriched. And it doesn't mean to be flawless and without error. That's not what the word actually means. And sadly, there have been a whole lot of alterations in our language over the years, and some of them certainly are not good. And they're not good when they pervert the meanings of words. But the connotation is usually that which we are striving for. It does not mean flawless, but it means to be complete. And in most cases, we haven't attained to that yet, but we can. Now, open your Bible to Philippians chapter 3, and there are a lot of different applications of this thing that God says He wants His people to be perfect, and we understand what that word means, and we'll interpret it with that in mind. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also I am apprehended of Christ." And this perfect is talking about complete in service and accomplishment. And the Apostle Paul said, "I want to be complete in my service to Christ, in my knowledge, my understanding of Christ." Now look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. Here's another usage of this same word. And it's used in a different way here in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." And this is talking about being complete in knowledge and understanding. Now go back to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. Here's another place where this word appears, this time in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, where Jesus said, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Once again, he's talking about not, because he mentions there in verse 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and so on. Verse 46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? He's talking about godly love, being perfect, being complete or mature in godly love. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. He is perfect, he is complete and fully furnished in the area of godly love. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And here's another usage of this same term. Ephesians 4:13 says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here this perfect is talking about being complete in example and testimony, in spiritual development. Being complete, being fully furnished in our example, in our testimony, so that we can be a good testimony before those who are watching. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 4. Here again is this word used, and it's got the same type of connotation, but a little bit different application. James 1, 4, but says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And this is talking about patience. He says there in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. And this perfect is being complete in patience. Now in Colossians chapter 1, of course, patience in a spiritual sense will yield godliness, but still he's not talking about a person who has come to the state of flawlessness. He's not talking about that at all. In Colossians 1, 27, 28, the Bible says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, was it Paul's desire that he would somehow produce, through his training, teaching, preaching, ministry, that he would produce some flawless saints? If you understand Bible doctrine, you know that that's impossible. We're not going to be flawless in this life. We've still got our old sin nature. But he says, I want to present the saints perfect in Christ. And this is complete in sanctification, in Christ likeness. And sometimes we console ourselves with the saying, nobody's perfect, nobody's perfect. And that's true. It can be an alibi. It can be an excuse to try to cover up for what we're not being, what we ought to be. The fact that nobody's perfect. But it is true that nobody is without flaws. And sometimes it's a comfort so we don't torment ourselves, but it can also be an excuse. It's true that we're always supposed to be growing and progressing, but there is an area in which God's people can be perfect. And that's what I want us to talk about tonight. A perfect heart. We can be that way daily and immediately and regularly and consistently and easily. And God describes a lot of people in the Bible as having a perfect heart. Now go to 1 Kings chapter 15 with me, back in the Old Testament again. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 14. And here's the man, the king, Asa, who is mentioned in 1 Kings 15, 14. Here the Bible says, but the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver and golden vessels. He was mature and he was focused in his heart, but not in practice. He didn't follow through with and apply the things that he knew. And so that was a problem, a serious problem in Asa's life. Look at 2 Kings chapter 18. 2 Kings chapter 18, here's King Hezekiah. In 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 3, the Bible says, "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He removed the high places and brake the images and cut down the groves and brake in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and he called it Nehushtan, a brass thing." He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord commanded Moses. And so here are some very complimentary things that are said about King Hezekiah, who was a godly man. Look at chapter 20, verse 3. He said, "I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight." And Hezekiah wept sore. And so Hezekiah claimed himself that his heart had been focused. His heart had been mature and complete towards the Lord. Now look at 1 Chronicles chapter 12, a little further on in your Bible. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 38. This is about David, particularly about his mighty men. Verse 38 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12 says, "All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king." And this is an area in which a person can be perfect and have the right kind of focus. And David himself said, "I will walk within my house with a perfect heart," in Psalm 101, verse 2. Now look at Job real quickly. Job, in Job chapter 1, the Bible says concerning Job that the man was perfect. Chapter 1, verse 1, the man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. And verse 8 says about him that he was a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. What kind of heart does God consider a perfect heart? Many things could be considered, but generally a perfect heart is one that is of single allegiance. It's focused. It's got one focus of single allegiance. It's not a divided heart. It's single. Devotion and loyalty and duty and submission, obedience and faithfulness. Think of the men that we've seen, David and Hezekiah and David's men and Job. What was their chief desire? Well, it was to please and obey God, to please and obey the scriptures and follow the word of God. And they did that consistently, and they had a perfect heart. Remember Isaiah's words in Isaiah chapter 6. Lord, when he saw the holiness of God, "Lord, here am I, send me. I'm willing to do and be whatever you choose." He had a single focus in his life. He had a perfect heart in that terminology. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 25. 2 Chronicles chapter 25. And we see some men in the word of God who the Bible says had a perfect heart. Verse 1, Amaziah was 20 and 5 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 20 and 9 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, but not with a perfect heart. He had some divided allegiance. He was not totally focused. He had some ulterior motives. Maybe it was to try to elevate himself. Maybe it was to try to accomplish his ends rather than being focused on accomplishing God's ends and seeing God's will fulfilled and seeing God's purposes accomplished. This man, Amaziah, the Bible says, did not have a perfect heart. And look at Matthew chapter 6 with me. And we're jumping around and we're going through a lot of scripture tonight, but it's all good. The word of God teaches and instructs us. Amen. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus said, "Lay not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Be careful about your focus. Verse 22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible says that God will never be pleased unless we have a perfect heart, unless we have a single focus. And that is to follow the word of God and to be obedient to the Lord. And some people might say, oh, you know, I could never be perfect before God. I'm too worldly. I'm too wicked. I'm too weak. A perfect heart does not say, look at the love of God that I have attained. Look at my spiritual development. I have a perfect heart. Never says that. I have strength and honor and mind stability. I have success in God's work, and I have succeeded at raising my family. I read my Bible. I have consistency as a witness for the Lord. Someone with a perfect heart doesn't say things like this. I am full in knowledge of the scriptures and doctrine. I am pure in life and body. I am strong in spirit and determination. A pure heart can't necessarily say all those things, and maybe there are no attainments that a person has accomplished, but they could say that I am focused on pleasing the Lord. I want to please the Lord more than anything else. I want to accomplish that in my life. I want to keep that kind of focus. I want to follow the word of God. I want to follow the scriptures. I want to obey God. I want to serve my Lord. That's a perfect heart. And that's the kind the Lord desires that we would have. A perfect heart has not necessarily attained a high level of spirituality. But a perfect heart is one that loves and follows and obeys and serves the Lord without reservation, without a divided heart. A perfect heart is single. A perfect heart is focused. And those things that we've talked about, those attainments of the Christian life, will eventually come about in the life of the individual who has a perfect heart, who has a complete heart, who is focused in the proper direction. Those things eventually will be accomplished in the life of that child of God, even though that one that has that heart cannot necessarily say that they have currently attained all of those things. It's so important for us to have the right kind of focus. It is extremely important for us to be able to look at who we are and look at what God wants His people to be and say, that's what I want to be. That's what I want to be. And by God's grace, that's where I'm headed. That's where we're going. That's where our focus lies. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Christ, at the end of this chapter, where he's talking about material things and the pursuit of material things, he says in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And look at Luke chapter 12, verse 31. Luke chapter 12, verse 31 says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, this person does not necessarily currently possess all the attributes that would be applied to a person who's spiritually strong and mature, but they've got the right attitude. It's about heart attitude, not necessarily about attributes. Maybe they haven't had a chance or had the time to grow to completion in so many areas. It's not about might. It's about motivation. And what is the result of a perfect heart? Perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. Look at Philippians chapter 4 with me. The peace of God And this is an important thing for us to examine. Are you at peace with yourself? Are you at peace with your conscience, with your integrity? Are you at peace with God tonight? Is your heart single? Is it moving in the right direction? Philippians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." You have the right attitude, you have the right heart, you have the right motivation. He says you will learn and you'll receive and you'll observe in the lives of other saints. You'll hear the truth. And he says, just do that. Just do that. The God of peace shall be with you. And there will be peace in the heart and peace in the life of the one who has that single focus, that has a perfect heart. And may God help us to move that direction and to have that. And like I said at the beginning of this message, you can have a perfect heart instantly. Just submit to the Lord. Just decide that you're going to be on the Lord's side. You're going to find out what the Word of God says, and you're going to submit to the Word of God. Just as I've said so many times recently, just do what you know. Just do what you know. And the God of peace shall be with you. And the Bible will call that a perfect heart. God, I want to be perfect. Well, you know what? You never will be flawless in this life, but you can have a perfect heart. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help us. There are so many things that we need.